Maybe I want to start by telling that Ruben Gutierrez does not only work with video, he makes sculptures as well, makes drawings. He did some tattoos that he actually tattooed on people.
Yeah.
am I forgetting a medium? Well, and does other projects,
yeah.
But we come to that later. And indeed, the difficult part was that you recently started, like 2 months ago, with your residency, and that I had to write a text on something that was not yet made. But luckily, and maybe that's also a good starting point, your work's a lot about fiction and different realities. So, as well as for the text, I think that also will be a major part of this talk now. But maybe it's good to start first with a little bit of the process of the residency and how you came to this format in the end, which consists of 3 trailers and 2 teasers, but you can elaborate on that yourself.
Yeah. Sorry, but for the camera...
No,
I was ready to pause it, but... Yeah, just... I'm gonna do it.
So a little bit maybe about the process, how you started with the residency and how you came to this format of trailers and teasers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, basically what I did in the residency is putting together a script for a short film and then do the pre-production and then the casting and then the actual shooting. So I finished.
Which is already a lot.
It's, yeah.
For 2 months.
It was a challenge, of course. But I managed to do that in 2 months, and I finished shooting like more or less a week ago. And but of course, this work is not something that came to me like magically when I got to the Netherlands. It's more like an idea that I have been working with for about 3 years, and I have working more in the side of developing some groups of works that then will fit this project as props, more or less, or elements for the story. Like when we just got in, it was like this animation of a witch flying and leaving this smoke behind. So that is also part of these previous works or approaches to the story. In fact, there are some pieces which they have their own like status or life, but I also have to do somehow with the project, like some stencils which I do with or small drawings with cocaine. But in fact, it's a stencil that you can make many, and those are as well in the story. And where am I going?
Well, maybe like how you decided on presenting this format, like the trailers.
Yeah,
as
we were shooting, then I was immediately also trying to cut some of the scenes to see if we got what I want. And for example, this is one scene, what I call a director cut of one scene that will be part of this short film, as well as the character which is talking. That's another part of the, it's an actual scene. And then there are 3 pieces. This is one of those, which I see as individual pieces, and they are, I call them teasers, and or templates, because they are like that, templates from Hollywood movies. And I use the footage for the video, but in a very repetitive way on these 3 teasers. because I was looking to try to dress the story in three really different ways, and I call this one is the epic teaser, and then the first one is the suspense action teaser, and the last one is the love story teaser. But they are actually, I mean, the same images. The only change is the edition, the typography, the music, of course, and all of my work has to do with the industry of the entertainment and Hollywood and television, and so this is another approach to this theme that I find like a stimulant somehow.
Can you say more about that? Why that is such an influence to you, and how you use those sort of strategies of Hollywood, and how you use it in your work?
Basically, because I grew up watching a lot of TV shows and movies, and mainly Mexican shows and Mexican films that were transmitted like on TV, and then I always had this in mind, like to make a movie. And the first videos I did, like 10 years ago, it was, it started as a reaction against this all like overwhelming entertainment system or the sphere. And
you call it the industry of destruction.
Of destruction, yeah. And then those videos were appropriation of these films that every Mexican watch. So what I just did is like a re-edition on them to make a new story out of this found footage. And I think that is also in this project, that intention to react in front of something that it can be considered as well as some sort of psychological attack. Because you are very vulnerable when you are watching a film. And these teasers try also to underline that. I mean,
but it also has to do for you with how the government deals with that, with media, and how the media influences the people. And
influences is a really nice word to put it, yeah. I'm thinking more on like social engineering tools to change social paradigms, which I think that is, I mean, basically Hollywood and the music industry.
Yeah. And in that sense, you also say that movies already create like a different alternative, like a different reality, an alternative reality, and you create then new different realities, and they're always sort of ironical in a way. Just thinking, maybe we can discuss these two scenes, like the surrender scene and maybe also the wizards in this, and maybe also in relation a bit to your previous works.
Well, yeah, this animation about the witch, it begins in fact as a single channel video installation. And it's of course the story and the short is multi-textual, intertextual, makes a lot of reference to books and other movies, and also contextually somehow. And that piece, the Surrender Felipe piece, that's the name.
It's the part where the witch is making
the
sign for people who don't know exactly which
the
part you're talking about.
The witch, the animation, but it came from another animation, which is the same witch writing on the sky the text and then leaving the scene, and then we saw the text vanishing, and then it's a loop, and then the witch enters again, and so it's like an endless nightmare of this witch sending you, delivering this message, and it says surrender, Felipe, and it's also a reference, of course, to the Wizard of Oz, and which though there is a scene, I don't know if you remember, where Dorothy reached some town, and then the wiki witch from the west enters and then start writing something on the sky with black smoke, but that was one of the first special effects made ever, and it is really, really well done. I mean, it's non-digital, of course, and so I got like really impressed by this, because I, of course, I saw the movie when I was a kid, but somehow I chose to forget that part, and then I just rediscovered, and that's why I decided to make something out of that. And all my work makes reference to my context, definitely. So this this work is a reference to the situation we are living now in Mexico with the drug war. And Felipe is the actual Mexican president. So it was some sort like a message to him. But also it's a reference to how the cartels, the drug cartels communicates with the general population and to other, to their enemies or to the government or to the police, when they always place like a piece of paper with a sign or a big piece of, I don't know how you say it, like this, like in every, like piece of fabric with a message. So it's also that, it's a, we call it narcomantas, and it's how they put through what they want to say. And so it's a multi-referential as well. And about the wizard, something really interesting happened when I get to the Netherlands, because as I said, I was working on this idea for some years, and I had some characters developed somehow and some situations, of course, but I didn't have proper script. So one of the main things in this project was like the capacity to adapt, because it was a really short frame time to do it, and it was a lot of work to do, and then also I didn't have the chance to find the exact actor that I have in mind for each of the characters. So somehow I have to adapt the character to the actors I cast, and I choose them because they were like the great, and they were close to what I had in mind. But also,
this is the
wizard, and at the beginning this character was an old man, like with a long beard, like half blood, more like a guru or a shaman, because this character is like help looking over these guys, these main two characters. But then I met this guy which had somehow the personality of the character, and the character I was thinking about, he was always living in this room full of movies and TVs, and he was constantly communicating with these guys with the small parts of these movies, somehow to tell that he is speaking in a language that they can understand. But then I met this guy, and he actually lives in a room full with TVs and movies. But he had like 20 TVs, like a small one, like a lot. So I thought, like, I just find the wizard. And we sculpture the character together, more or less. So it was...
Maybe it's also good to speak roughly about the sort of where it will go to, and sort of storyboards.
Well, the idea...
Here it's still very cryptical.
Yeah, I mean, you are watching the scenes that will be part of the movie. Yeah. But it's going to be, of course, something really, I mean, different, because there is a lot of post-production and special effect that I have to work on it. Because they are, I transformed Utrecht into a post-apocalyptic city, more or less, or some sort of a limbo where they are listening to gunfights and explosions, and then a witch is writing messages to them. It's like really schizophrenic and experimental movie, I guess. So, but they, yeah, the idea is to make a short film and then send it to festival and see what happened.
Yeah, because you also sent me this this text on, I have to, young adult post-disaster fiction, which I think is more or less what you're referring to right now. Can you elaborate a little bit more on this idea, roughly?
I always have an interest in this, because I find that, and I'm referring in that way, not only as a, when I say teenagers, it's not only a question of age, but more like a psychological frame.
People who still believe in a sort of change, or?
Yeah, I mean, when you're young, you believe that you can change the world. And that is, and you are looking for something, and you are also developing your character. So it's a really interesting and sublime moment of life. And when you are looking for something, for example, for love, and you think at that stage that anything is possible. So also that is implied in the.
It's this post-apocalyptic stage it's gonna take place, and is there then a sort of quest or?
It is a quest for they basic all the characters basically have something in common, that they don't like their world or their context, their immediate context, and they are all of them looking for something else. And it's about that quest, they are looking for that. So, but some of them are trying to stop the others and or help them. And it's a messy story, more or less.
So you also want to make a feature film out of this sort of idea?
Yeah, of course. But I mean, at this stage, it's making this short film, but in the future I would like to keep working on the script to make it a feature film, yeah.
And this short film, is that also going to be ironical in a way? I mean, also this idea of utopia, or how cynical or how serious are you in the end, or the film is going to be?
It's going to be very seriously cynical, I guess.
Yeah, because also this irony and cynicism, and it's also very much related to absurdism, I think, in a lot of your work, like looking for things that are not able to be found anyway. Is that also going to be part of this film?
Yeah, somehow.
How is it gonna end? Can you enlighten us a bit? Or
no, I can't reveal the ending. But it's implied in everything, I guess, in this quest, in this situation, and I think at the end they are in this quest for home, but at the end they realize they are home. Basically, so it's absurd, it's an absurd quest.